Hi guys, welcome back to That's So Sabotage.
Hi guys, happy Monday. Welcome back. We are so excited for today's episode.
You guys, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. She's actually an official stunning queen because we actually gave her that title a few episodes ago. She was one of our stunning queens of the week. So we are having Jordan Sloan here on today's episode. You guys, she is an Instagram star. She has the most stunning queen feed. We always go to her for inspo. She has great fashion, obviously, as well. She also has a YouTube channel. She's really just jack of all trades, and we love her. She's so inspiring in so many ways. So we're really excited for you guys to get to know her in today's episode.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on today's podcast. I'm so excited. That is quite the intro. Thank you so much, Emma.
Oh my God, you're welcome. You know, it's well deserved, okay? Don't give yourself that. It's well deserved.
Oh my God, thank you.
Before we even get into this episode, let's discuss, because I can't seem to figure this out, but how did we even all meet each other? Does anyone know? Does anyone remember?
I feel like it was totally random. Like, we definitely all met at a Fashion Week event. And then I feel like I met you guys randomly throughout different experiences. Like, Emma and I went on a trip to London together for Nasty Gal, which is stunning.
It was stunning queen. It really was stunning queen.
That was like our first interaction and meeting, just like getting to know each other. And then we all met at a Dermalogica event in New York during Fashion Week, right, which is such a good event. And then I finally got to like chat with you guys, and I had followed you guys for a while too. So it was fun. It was like a little reunion. And Sophie, I actually ran into you on the street in Paris. So yeah,
that was so random. And I was with Christina. And yeah, just randomly crossed paths, and we were like, okay, this is, yeah.
Small world.
I was like trying to meet up with Christina at one point, but then her wallet got stolen in Paris. And no.
we're like, don't open up that can of worms.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm a story time gal, so we can.
Amazing.
Sophie's like, that makes two of us.
Yeah, seriously. No, yeah, that was like an insane situation. Whole purse, passport, wallet, whole situation just stolen. So
insane. No. Honestly, that's like, that takes us to our next segment, which is sabotage of the week. And that's very sabotage. That's such a sabotage story.
Absolutely.
So basically, before every episode, Jordan, I know you mentioned you listen to our podcast a little bit, but yeah, every episode we do a sabotage story time of the week. I mean, Sophie does a story time, we just say a moment. And it's basically just like naming like the most sabotage thing that happened that week. So before we get into the episode, do you want to
kick us
off?
Why don't you go first?
Yeah, you go first. Give us your sabotage moment of the week.
Okay, so restaurants just opened up in LA this past week. So on Friday night, we actually went out and we went a little crazy. We had maybe one too many drinks, out way too late to like 4 a.m. And then, of course, that results in like a day at home on the couch with Postmates, with food delivery. So we had ordered basically every food under the sun, and we went to Erewhon, got all the good snacks, chips, whatever. So I just left all of the trash, garbage, like in the bag downstairs outside of my garbage can. And now that I live on the first floor in LA, I didn't realize that like you actually have to be really careful with your garbage. So we left it there for like 3 days while we were hungover. And I came down one morning and my friend had still like slept there over the past like 3 days because we were just both dead. And so I went downstairs and I noticed a huge like infestation of ants all over my ground, all over the floor, all the way like crawling into the cabinets, all over the trash, like ants covering the floor. I wanted to cry. It was disgusting, like the amount of ants. And my friend had her dog here, and the dog bowl was like, you couldn't even see the dog bowl. That's how many ants were in it. It was disgusting. I wanted to die. And that was disgusting. I freaked out. I screamed. I just like sprayed it with like whatever cleaner I had, and they all like died. But now I have to call and get like, what is it called?
An exterminator.
An exterminator. Yeah.
Damn. That honestly is so
you might take the cake with that one.
Disgusting.
And just and just having to deal with that while you're hungover as well is just like not cute.
It was
even
gross.
Even though it was days later, but like still, it's just like not a vibe.
No. Just not cute.
God. That's actually horrible. Oh my God. Well, Nick, what's your sabotage of the week?
Mm.
My sabotage of the week was actually quite sabotage. I know I say that all the time, but this week was no exception. I don't know what I did, but I just woke up one morning and I was trying to like turn over to just like say hi to Josh, like, you know, good morning, what's up? And I pulled my neck so bad. Wait, like, I'm don't sorry. Know what I Wait, did.
I'm sorry. Is that what you really say to good morning, what's up? Is that is that true?
No, I'm just giving you the context here, okay? But this was the thing. I like kind of turned my body and I felt something was wrong and I was like, eh, whatever, no big deal. So I like, whatever, turn around. And then again, something pulled so bad. I literally could not move. I've had to ice and heat pack my neck for 2 days straight. Literally couldn't, like literally couldn't move. Had to turn my body to like look right and left, which, you know, wasn't that bad because like I don't do anything anyway. Like I'm home. It's not like I had places to be or people to see. Like, so wasn't that bad. But the pain was quite, quite sabotage.
That's giving me flashbacks of that one time when, I don't know, when you pulled your back and Josh like set the phone up and me and Emma were on FaceTime and Nitz was literally like stuck on the floor and like
I could Josh not get up.
Had to drive over to your place and I don't even know your brother was recording you. It was.
And the best thing was they used my old karate belt to tie my back up straight so I wouldn't move and like hurt myself.
Your brown belt.
Yeah, your brown belt karate that you love to mention. Oh my God. Had to just slip it in there.
I just had to slip it in the conversation.
It was brown, by the way.
Yeah, it was brown. But yeah, that was my sabotage moment. So anyway, I'm better now. Thank you all for asking. I'm doing well. How was yours?
Okay, so my sabotage of the week, honestly, it's like not that sabotage, but it's just kind of cringy and I thought I would mention it. It's kind of cringy and iconic at the same time. But basically, so I just obviously moved into this building and like pretty recently, and I'm trying to like make friends in my building because at my last building, that just was not the vibe check. Like no one was really that friendly. So like this building, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make the conscious effort to really be like that bitch in the building. And like everyone loves Emma in the building kind of vibe. So I saw some stunning queens obviously moving in like yesterday. Actually, this happened literally yesterday. And I was on FaceTime with Nitz actually. And I was like, oh my God, Nitz, some stunning queens are moving into the building. And she was like, why don't you go introduce yourself? And I was like, no, like that's so embarrassing. Like, no, I can't.
Can we just clarify that by stunning queens, you mean stunning kings?
Okay, stunning kings, right? Whatever. Yeah, okay, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And I was like, no, Nitz, that's so embarrassed. Like, I can't do that. And she's like, just do it. I was like, okay, fine. So, but I was like, I need a reason to go upstairs. Because why the hell am I going up to the lobby and like just to go say hi? Like, no, I need a reason. So she's like, go check your mail. And I was like, okay, I have no mail, but I'll go check my mail. So I go to like the mail room and I'm like playing with my locker. There's like nothing in there. It's like completely empty. And I'm like, whatever. And they come, they're like, hey. And I was like, hey, I'm Emma, by the way. Like, so nice to meet you. They're like, hey.
No, it wasn't that chill. I was on FaceTime. I can attest to the fact they were literally like, hey, hey. And they walk by like literally like this. And then it goes, I'm Emma, by the way. Like, just yelling out at them. It wasn't in conversation.
No, like, it was.
But
like,
it was iconic.
No, it was absolutely not, like, natural conversation. Like, I truly had to put myself out there. And I was just like, and they basically were like, oh, cool. Like, nice to meet you, whatever. And I was like, nice to meet you. And then, like, and when they left, I was like, shit, I still have no mail to bring back down. I was just like, closed my locker and, like, ran down as fast as I could. Because I was like, holy shit. Like, if they can't see that, I have nothing in my hands. And I came up for no reason. But overall, it was fine. Like, it was fine. It's just really cringy. I don't regret it, but it was pretty cringy. I think I just need to work on like my introduction.
Your pickup lines.
Yeah, basically. So anyways, that was my sabotage of the week. What about you, So?
So today, actually this week, I'm just going to make everybody's lives so much easier. I actually really don't have a moment that was that sabotage that happened this week. So sorry, no story time. But I think that one thing that's sabotage and I just can't, it's like it's constant. I can't stay organized with laundry and like it literally just piles up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like I'll spend probably like an hour and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to clean out my closet office room. We're going to get it organized. And then I do a load of laundry and then I just throw it in the room and then it just builds up a pile. And so I've just been really unorganized in that sense. And that's been really sabotage.
You know what's the worst though? It's not even the dirty laundry. It's like the clean pile of laundry. Like you'll be like, okay, I'll go do my laundry. And then you do the laundry, you do your loads, but then you have a bunch of laundry to fold and that ends up sitting there too. So it just goes from the dirty pile to the clean pile, but
why is it
done?
But why is it so hard?
Like, what's the point?
Why is it so hard though?
I almost like, Emma, I know you do this, but like, I almost need a laundry basket to then like take with me to the bedroom, throw it on the bed, then fold it all on the bed. But like back at home, like at my parents' house, there's like a whole, my mom has a whole system to like folding laundry. But like, obviously I live in a small apartment. Like I don't have that. So you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's sabotage.
It just piles up. And then it's like, okay, well, I should just wash this because it's been sitting on the floor for three days.
That's me.
Yeah.
I literally will wash my laundry and then I'll put it in the basket and have good intentions of folding all of it. It'll sit in the basket and I'll forget that it's clean. And so I'll start throwing my dirty laundry on top of it until I have to clean it all again, even though the clean laundry is technically on the bottom.
That is so relatable.
That's about it.
That's literally the most relatable. But yeah, you guys, I guess those weren't too bad of I mean, Jordan, I think you take the cake for sure.
Definitely.
For sabotage of the week, which is very fitting because you are the guest. So we'll give you that crown. But I guess we'll get into it today's podcast. So Jordan, we want to kind of get to know you a little bit, you know, feel out the vibes. How did you really, because obviously you are like we said, a stunning queen Instagram star and like you have the best feed ever. So how did you get started to become into this career anyways? Like what's your like quick
what's your story?
Yeah, like what's your long story short?
Well, it's quite the story, but I basically in college started to travel a little bit because I studied abroad my junior year and I fell in love with like that independent life of just going places, taking pictures along the way, like documenting my outfits and everything. This was in like 2015 when I kind of found my love and passion for photography in general. And at the time I was a fashion design major in college. So I just didn't have like that balance. So I needed something to kind of like have another like outlet of creativity in a way. So when I was traveling abroad, I just fell in love with travel in general and like taking photos. And I started a blog my senior year of college, but I didn't have an Instagram really. I just posted on my blog. And when I was interning in college, I got offered a job out of school at this place. And I just didn't want to take the job because I didn't have any creative control. And I kind of had this blog started and I was starting to gain a following on Instagram. It was just like not an intent of mine to like be a blogger or maybe go down that road or whatever. But I just fell in love with taking street style photos in New York. I lived in New York at the time. I went to school upstate New York and I was interning in New York City like my senior year of college. So I just had that world around me of like that culturally diverse kind of melting pot of like different styles, backgrounds, people in general. And that was super inspiring to me. So I just would take photos. I would go out on the street with a photographer, like buy all these vintage pieces, just put together outfits, style, all that type of stuff. And it was just my little side hustle, like side hobby. And I was able to go full force with it when I graduated from school because I didn't have a job at all. I like didn't have a job coming out of school. I got offered a job, but I denied it because it just wasn't going to sustain my life living in New York and I didn't have creative control. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to continue to do this, spend all my intern money, savings. Like I had literally no money. And I was just spending everything on like bags, shoes, clothes. And then I was traveling a little bit more. So I actually went away that summer after school and I spent literally every single last penny in my bank account to go to like Bali, Australia, Hong Kong, all these different places. And wow. I just started to go full force with the photos and the documentation and stuff like that. So yeah, I was traveling a lot. I had a friend that was with me the entire time and she was able to help me like take photos. She was also super creative. And we are just constantly like bouncing ideas off each other, just putting together like these really cool concepts and stuff for photos and documenting everything. And when I came back from my travels, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a 9-to-5 job. And at that point, like as soon as I got home, it was kind of like the stars aligned and I got my first collaboration and Coach reached out to me and they were like, we want to send you like 3 bags and we want to pay you something like, I think like $250 for like
stunning,
just like all of the posts. And I don't even know how many posts they had me do, but they were like, you need to post each bag like twice or something and post it on your
blog. Was it a red Coach bag?
There was a bunch of colors. Like they sent me
one. Was it like a Selena Gomez one?
I'm not sure what it was. I can't even remember. It was like a gray one. There was like a green one. There was a huge one, like little tiny. Okay. Yeah, I don't even know.
That's an iconic first partnership. you know.
That is, yeah.
It was exciting. I was so excited. And I kind of had like the light bulb go off in my head, like, okay, maybe I could actually make money from this. So I saw other girls doing it at the time. Like I had followed a few other people that I looked up to and like the Kiaras of the world, like that type of blogger. And I was like, you know what? These right. girls make a living doing it. Not that I could ever compare myself to someone like that at the time, but it was like, it was possible. So I invested everything I had like into just doing that. Just buying vintage, investing in clothes, even like returning clothes, like buying and returning clothes just so I could shoot it.
Oh,
like literally
been there, done that.
Yes.
Like doing everything I could to just have the most chic, epic content photos, collaborating with other bloggers. This was back in 2016, 2017 when it was really easy to collaborate with people and then just like exchange right. followings right away and get reposted. So I started getting reposted a lot, like collaborating with other girls that were just my good friends before we even collaborated. And yeah, it just kind of took off. And over the years, it's built and just evolved into its own thing. And I didn't in like have the intention of it becoming like a full-time job at, or like at all until like that summer. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to make it happen for myself. I have no other option. And this is going to be my vehicle to start my own brand someday so I can just build an audience, build that customer. And with my fashion design background, I was like, this is just the way I'm going to be able to launch a brand. Like, when the time comes. So yeah.
I find that really interesting that you said like you had no other option, because in our last week's episode, we said like how important it was for us three to not have a plan B when getting started. And so I think you having that similar mentality with that is like very interesting, because obviously like we obviously didn't know your circumstances at that time because it was like a completely different time frame. But yeah, that's very interesting that you went into it with like no other option but to like hustle, work hard, and get to where you are now.
Yeah. I also like the fact that you mentioned that it was like kind of not on purpose and it would came from like a hobby, because I feel like the girls and I also we said that in our last episode, and we always like say that as well. It's was such an important part and such an important piece to the puzzle of making this like dream a reality, is that it was a passion and then it became a job, if that makes sense. So I really like how that was your story as well.
With that in mind though, I want to ask you, did you ever feel the pressure to get a normal 9-to-5? Did you ever get pressure from your family, or did you ever doubt yourself? I know there was no plan B, but did you ever kind of wonder to yourself, since it wasn't on purpose, like, what am I doing? Is this going to work out? And how did you deal with those kind of thoughts?
Totally. I mean, my family, like my dad was the first one in his whole family to go to college. He was the first one in his family to have like a traditional 9-to-5 job. And he's basically like built from the ground up type of man. And so he's very traditional in the sense of business. And he told me when I graduate from college that I had no option other than to get that stable 9-to-5 job. And when I sat my parents down and told them like, no, that wasn't going to happen, like I'm actually going to go full force with this, they didn't understand. They didn't even understand Instagram, social media, anything like that. So it was really hard and took them a lot of convincing. I did feel that pressure. I basically sat at home as soon as I got home from that summer of travel. Like that was obviously a shortened version of the story, but I sat home basically all day, every day on my computer, applying to every job possible under the sun. And I was just so discouraged. Like I didn't hear back from anyone. Honestly, getting a job recommendation, like just contact the people you know, because recommendations are everything. Like it's like blindly applying to jobs online. You're never going to hear back from them. Like it just doesn't happen. So it was really hard for me. I got really discouraged and like really depressed. And I was like, I'm not going to have any money. I don't know what to do. And I just kind of had like what Sophie just said, like I literally had no other option than to do this in the meantime while I tried to find a job. So I could make, even if it meant making $200 or $250 and having to post 15 photos for a brand, I was willing to do it just because I loved it so much. Like the feeling of going to take photos and like the feeling of like having that creative outlet just to kind of express myself during like that hard time of like not having an option and feeling really scared about like what I was going to do. That's like what kept me going for sure. And that pressure, like it definitely drove me. Like I don't believe in plan Bs. So once I knew that I was going to do that full time, I like didn't even apply to another job.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's like so inspiring and so cool to hear also from like, obviously a fellow boss in the industry. But speaking of like connections and how important it is to like have relationships in the industry, like you just mentioned, how did you build like your strong connections and like your network throughout the industry? Obviously from like the ground up, like you said.
Well, I think it's just organically over time. Like you meet people in person. New York City is such a great, amazing place to start out if you're starting out in fashion. I mean, now it's different in the age of social media after quarantine, of course, like you can literally work anywhere. But at the time, like living in New York was so amazing for me because I was 22, 23, and I was just out meeting people all the time, going to different events, not even just like fashion events, like all different types of events, like very like gallery openings, restaurant openings, stuff like that. You're just meeting people left and right and constantly just exchanging thoughts and ideas. And it was such a beautiful thing back then. It's not really like that right now, but I just think that meeting people organically and like-minded creatives, people in New York really just do want to help each other out. They like want to help other people make their dreams come true. And it's not like a selfish thing. Like it can be if you get involved with the wrong people who are just doing it out of like the wrong reasons or whatever. But I was really lucky to have a core group of like friends, fellow bloggers that I would hang out with that I trusted. But I mean, not to say that I didn't hang out with people and associate myself with people along the way that really did kind of like damage like relationships and like, I don't know, make things difficult. But like, I did have to start like a really core group of like trusting people around me that did give me advice and help me and that I could look up to. But then like, as far as like collaborations go, just like building those networks over time, just by doing the best possible job that you can. Like when I would get a job, when I was first starting out, I went above and beyond. Like in any sort of job that you have growing up, like, and even if it's like working at like a Dunkin' Donuts or anything, you know, like even if it's just like, just the bare minimum type of job, you should always go above and beyond because that next person, like that boss that you're working for, could work for like Louis Vuitton. I'm just saying, like, you never know, like someday,
yeah.
Someday that person could be like an important contact in your life. So it's like every relationship and job that I had, I would go above and beyond to prove myself so that like when the time came, like I built that trust within it's like so my true. Network.
It's so true. We always say yeah. everything always comes full circle. We love to use yeah. that mm-hmm. saying. It's truly like, you know, we should trademark it at this point. But everything really comes full circle. And it's so true. Like it matters how you act in any job, any conversation, any event. Like that person.
And how you treat people.
And how you treat people. Like that person mm-hmm. will come back probably in your life in the industry in some way, shape, or form. And that impression that you gave them, like that first impression is literally everything.
Exactly.
Well, and I just remember from that like brief meeting that we had when we were in Paris, like I know it, I'm pretty sure it was Paris Fashion Week during that time. I wasn't there like for Paris Fashion Week. I was just there in Paris during that time. But when we did run into each other, I remember you said like, you're like, oh, I'm just on, I literally remember this. I'm on my way to a fitting at Oscar de la Renta.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that is so cool. Like that is like next time I go to Paris, like I hope that like I can be like on that level to do something like that with like an amazing designer. And I remember hearing that and just being so inspired by that. And so I think that that's really cool because I feel like you've done so many awesome things with your career so far and just have
like great connections.
I don't
like
even know how to say it, but like yeah. Yeah. That like people work their way up their whole entire career to get.
Well, when I was in Paris, that was actually so funny. I didn't even go with the intent of going to any shows. I literally just went for meetings because everyone was going to be in Paris. I met with American brands in Paris when I was there. Like it was crazy. Like for Oscar, I went to a like it was more of a preview, like a showroom. It wasn't necessarily like a fitting. Yeah. It was like I went and I saw the collection in person, like a personal walkthrough of the new collection, but I didn't get invited to the show. I just got an appointment. So that was like step one of building a relationship with them, like the bare like necessity to even get a future invite to a show or even just like have any sort of collaboration with them in general. So it's like when I went to Paris, I literally just met with contacts. I went to random showroom appointments. I went to just
The showrooms. Previews.
Yeah, all the showrooms in the world. That's a whole nother job in itself, like a whole nother hustle, for just sure. going to showrooms in general.
Do you guys remember like going to showrooms and like picking out the pieces and then styling
in LA?
In LA and just like going around.
But you
around.
Know what? Yep. I think that's really like even for us, yeah. any brand contact that we've had, it's really just going somewhere and putting yourself out there, whether it be like going to New York Fashion Week the first year or going to LA when we had no business being in LA, but just reaching out to showrooms, reaching out to people. And same thing with Paris, you know, you just have to. I forgot, I think it was Chriselle Lim who once said this, but she was like, about Fashion Week or specifically Paris Fashion Week, just go there and make it known that you're there and see what happens.
That's literally what I did when I went. Like, I spent basically a month ahead of time just researching and like reaching out to brands, getting in contact with my agency at the time. And they did like, they did a little bit as far as like confirming appointments and stuff like that. But it was mainly just me like reaching out and trying to fit in whatever I could in the moment. And I actually was able to like sneak into two shows because I had a friend who was there actually to go to shows. And she was like, oh, I don't have time to go to this show. Take my spot. Oh, so my God. I literally would take her name and show up in a random place in Paris for a show for like a designer that I had never even heard of. But it was like the most magical, beautiful show ever because it's in Paris. Right. And it's just more of an experience. And like when you're there, you meet people, you see people that you know that are like familiar from New York or whatever. And then they introduce you to another person. And then it's just, it's, you feel more at home in a way. So it's not as intimidating as you think. Like it's definitely, it takes a little bit of balls to like just show up randomly to shows and you're not even on the list, but that's just kind of the, like the nature of our job, like the hustle, like just doing whatever you can to like really immerse yourself in the industry and like experience it.
It's IRL. So true. I feel like I really hope Paris Fashion Week will still be a thing, you know?
I
like,
know.
We still everything, need to live that out.
I feel like everything is just more magical in Paris, and just like fashion is so much cooler in Paris, even if it's an American brand, like you said. If it's in Paris, we're just all like googly eyed and just like
literally.
But speaking of fashion, like who are your fashion inspos? Like who are your major fashion inspos? Like if you have a top three or like the first girls that come to your head?
Oh, girl. Like Hailey Bieber, obviously. It's not her style. It's like style by Maeve. What is it, Maeve?
Her stylist.
Mm-hmm. Maeve. Yeah, love.
Iconic.
Iconic. So good. I love like a Princess Diana moment. She's definitely been a huge style icon for me in the past like year, especially like, I don't know if you guys have ever watched The Crown. Like I loved the newest season. It made me research. Me too.
So good.
It was so good. Like I honestly went in like a full like nosedive into like all the history of Diana and her life and all the tea.
I have to say something. I have to interject here. I went spiraling down into literally like what's the word? Like conspiracy theories about where Princess Diana is. And I am 100% convinced that she's alive. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But that show really sparked something in me. Like my YouTube suggested page is all royal family.
No.
Of this show.
The amount of TikTok dramas, like channels about conspiracy theories about Princess Diana that we have gone down. There is a TikToker who has done like, you know how they do like
literally,
it's like part 65 at this point. And like she just talks about this. We'll send it to you. It's actually insane.
It's unreal. I need this.
It's literally same. My entire YouTube homepage is like, interviews of the Crown cast, or it's like documentaries about Princess Diana. I've watched all the documentaries that have popped up on YouTube on my like explore page, and they're all so good. They're all the same. It's like all the same pictures in every single one of them.
She is
still
just
watch them.
The best person. Like just watching that show, you're like, she's literally like such an icon. Not even just fashion wise, just her way of life. Like she's so gentle but strong, and just like did her own thing. She's an icon for sure. Okay, well, obviously, we all love your feed. And speaking of fashion, I think you have a really cool, like, you have definitely your own personal style. I feel like you take trends and really make them your own and just do your own thing, which is very admirable. So we are dying to know, how do you plan your feed? Or what are your feed tips? And how do you just, you know, how did you come up with your brand aesthetic?
Okay, from the feed queen herself. Well, I use an app called Preview because I used to use this app called Unum. I don't know what people call it. No one will ever know what it's called, but that's what I used. And it was really great for a while, but then they started charging you all these extra things. Like, you know how apps get you like that. But then I just switched to this app called Preview and it's great. I just kind of swipe my photos around and like see how things work together. I kind of go through like color themes on my feed. Like I feel like all of you guys do too, where I like hop on a color trend and I just can't escape it for a while. Like it sticks for like 15 to 20 photos. And I don't know, like, I just love the creativity behind planning a feed, making it look organized. It's like having a clean room. Like, when my feed gets messy, I kind of feel like clustered, chaotic, overwhelmed. Like, I love having like
a annoyed.
And my view of like having a nice feed is like Instagram is such a chaotic world and place in itself. And it's like there's a little like nice aspect to having a clean feed, because it's like in midst of all the chaos, you can have like something serene and calming for people to come and enjoy during like whatever break in their day that they have. So it's like something that's going to add value to someone and make them feel good when they go to your feed instead of feeling overwhelmed and chaotic.
For so sure. True.
Especially if there's a little golden hour on the feed. It's just like a little bit of sunshine. Like, it's just happy times.
I feel like you're so good at pumping out such good content consistently. Like, how do you deal with ever being uninspired or unmotivated? Do you ever get like that?
Totally. I feel like, especially over the past year, like what 2020 has taught me is like, it's okay to take breaks when you're feeling uninspired. Like, I used to force myself to pump out content no matter how I was feeling. And now I'm just not like that anymore. Like, it was honestly detrimental to my mental health when I would do that. And I would just burn out. Like, I would literally just like go into a hole and like not know what to do and feel like so chaotic and not like trying to plan all these different scenarios of photos that I would post. And now I'm just like, I'm going to take 2 days off and just let it all like reset in my brain and then come back to it. And then I always know what to do, like two days, 3 days, even if it's 5 days, like where I just need to take a break and not post, like, so be it. Like, it's always going to be there. Like, your followers and your audience are always going to be there to support you, even if you want to take a break. But when I'm feeling uninspired, like, I honestly just like try to be active, go for walks outside, like douse myself in self-care, like do a lot of skincare, go on Pinterest, watch like movies, like, I don't know, just like all the typical stuff that like all of us girls do, where we just like are doing our own thing, like having our routine. Pinterest is a huge one for me. I just love to go on Pinterest and like check people out.
What is your routine? Hours. Like, what's your daily morning routine? Like, just speaking of like the fact that you said routine, I was like, okay, I need to know your routine.
Well, okay. So when I wake up, the first thing I do is I like drink water and then I go do my skincare right away. Because if I don't do it when I first wake up, I'll get like so distracted by like drinking coffee, like getting on my computer, checking emails, all that stuff. I've been trying not to check my phone for the first like hour of waking up.
An hour? That's impressive. That is impressive, especially because you're on the West Coast.
Well, here's the thing. It hasn't stuck. So I've been checking. It's been more of like a 30 minute. So like it'll take me 30 minutes, like drink water and do my skincare. And then I'll like check my phone. But I have to wake up so early now that I live on the West Coast. Like, for all of you guys who don't know, like, I used to live in New York City for 7 years or no. Yeah. Like 5 years. And it's different because everything is still based in New York for me. And my manager is still in New York. So when I wake up at 6 a.m., my text messages start at 4. So I'm like, I have to check them at like maybe 7. So I'll wake up at like 6 and then I'll check them around like 7, 6:30, 7, depending upon like when I have my coffee. But it gives me anxiety because I feel so behind being on the West Coast. But
that's the beauty of the East Coast.
Seriously.
Yeah.
We always say that whenever we're in New York with Nitz or in Toronto with Nitz, we're like, Nitz, like, you're so lucky. Like, you, and me and Sophie are like, we have all the time in the world. Like, we're stressed.
No, and for me, when I'm in LA, I'm like, I'm so behind. Like, I'm up at like 6. Like, I can't sleep because I know the world is like going on. Meanwhile, we're like sleeping at the Line Hotel, like sleeping in.
Yep. That's how I feel. I get the most anxiety when I sleep in too late, because I just feel like I'm missing everything, and like everything is like the worst is waking up to like in all caps urgent emails, you know.
Oh my god, the worst.
So okay, so speaking of, do you actually wake up?
I try to. So my alarm goes up. My alarm goes off every day at 6, and I wake up around like 6:15 or like 6:30. I'll like snooze it or whatever, and then I'll like have my coffee, go downstairs, and then while I have my coffee, I check my email and do all that. And I've been really adamant over the past year about just like scheduling myself then and there. So I actually bought recently all these gel pens on Amazon for $10, and they're all these different neon colors, pastels, pink, glitter, like you guys would love. They're very like on brand for you guys. But I schedule in my little notebook every single day, like in all color coded, like work things, personal things, tasks, chores, like all
for
these
the day
things,
is this for the day?
For the day. Okay. For the day. And then just everything, literally I pencil in even like lunch or like go for a walk or just like go to the grocery store, stuff like that. Like laundry, I pencil in everything because or else it won't get done. I just need to have like an idea and like outline for what I have to do that day because or else I just, my brain is so chaotic. Like I'll do it, but it'll be like all random and like everything will carry over until the next day if I don't do that. So I do that.
You're so my type of person. Yeah. Like Emma and Sophie make fun of me and lists, but like hearing this, I'm like, yes. Hey, wait,
here,
yes.
Hold on.
Hey, I love lists. What are you talking about?
We like lists. We just don't like PowerPoints. And
we just don't like Excel spreadsheets.
There's a big fucking difference between color-coded cute notes every day versus like an Excel spreadsheet that I don't even know how to use, okay?
It's life-changing. I used to be the complete opposite. Like I'm a very like type B personality where I'm very chill. I'm very laid back. Like I'm very up in there like, oh, whatever happens, go with the flow. Like if I get it done today, cool. But like now that I feel like I have so much more responsibility and work, like I have no option other than to be organized. Like I hate the worst feeling. Right. It's just like being late on work and just not getting it done, having things carry over into the next day. Like also just like the satisfaction of crossing things off your list throughout the day, it like builds confidence, you know, it's like, oh, I can get that done. Like I can do things like I actually completed my day, you know?
I feel like that also though has a lot to do with like being independent and also living on your own. Like the fact that you just moved out into literally a house. Is it a house or is it like just a giant apartment?
It's a townhouse. So
okay,
it's,
there we go. Yeah. Okay.
It's a townhouse, but it's like an apartment townhouse. So it's a two bedroom.
Which I feel like a lot of that has to do with being independent. And I feel like it's so cool that you just moved out on your own into that stunning queen townhouse in LA. It's so huge. And we're so excited to come literally sewer it and sleep over every single night once we're allowed to. But yeah, we would love to know. Like we think it's so inspiring. You know, Misof and it's all thrive to be independent and independent queens. But let us know, like, how do you do it? How are you so independent? How are you thriving so well? And like, it's so cool.
Well, thank you. That's so nice and kind.
You're welcome.
Well, I think that like independence for me has just been like, I think it's something that I was kind of like born with in a sense where it's like, it's something that I've definitely practiced and kind of mastered over the years of just like being like living in New York, doing things on my own, like having no option than to get things done on my own. It's just like built that like kind of characteristic within myself. But I think like I've been single for like 2 years or no, like I'm always single. I've never like I've had relationships, but like I think that I've never had like a really serious relationship. So I think that I've just like never really relied on like anyone or also I just feel like this sounds kind of messed up, but like when I put my expectations in other people and rely on other people, I feel like I'm always let down. And I don't know if it's just because I've met like people in my life or like surrounded myself with people who I can't like fully rely on thus far. But like whenever I have like an idea or like I have high standards. So it's like when I want to get something done completed to my standards, I feel like I'm just better off doing it myself because then I know I'm going to get it done exactly the way that I want it or like how like the most efficiently. I mean, people have definitely like exceeded my expectations in life in so many levels, like my friends, family, all that, close friends. But it's like when it comes to like work things and just like my life in general, I'm just like, I'm just going to do it. Like if I want to go like experience something, I'm just going to go do it. And then I oftentimes just have like the best time doing it by myself. So that's kind of like, it's just like built that independence.
Yeah. Because I feel like for all of us too, we're very like, we know what we like and we like things done our way. And I know in the past, just from following you, you've had interns or assistants or have been hiring. I know you mentioned you have one in LA. So how do you delegate work to scale your business? How do you, you know, find the balance between having it your way, but letting someone do something for you to help you out?
So when I said earlier that I make my schedule every day, I just hired an intern, but basically I write out my whole schedule and then next to what things that I'm probably not going to be able to complete myself that day, I just initial her name next to it. So everything that I would do myself, I just hand off to her. So I honestly, I'm not like changing anything for her that I would do out of the norm. It was just things that I can't like take on or handle that I'm just passing off to her and I'll explain it or whatever. But in regards to like my management, she's so good that she just knows. I just feel like I can trust her. But when it comes to like dealing with an intern, it's always hard to like trust people to like get things done. I mean, I like edit everything myself. I do everything like YouTube wise myself and like edit my own photos and everything. Cause I just have like my way of, the way I like things. But when it comes to things that I'm just like not good at, like everyday tasks or just staying organized or doing stuff right. like that, I always hand off to like someone else.
Yeah.
Going back to though, I need to know, like I need to ask this question, going back to your love life and how you say like, I'm always single. Obviously I'm newly single too. So I look at you as inspiration because you're such a boss babe and you like kill it on your own. What's it like dating in LA and New York? Like what's the difference? Do you prefer one city or do you prefer other cities? Like, are you on dating apps? Like I need to know all the tea on your dating life. If you're willing to share.
No, of course. It's like really not that interesting. I go on dates. I dated like on and off in New York for years. Like I love going on dates. I honestly just end up being friends with them. Like that's so my personality. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with going on a date, just like opening yourself up to someone, like having a fun dinner and then just going home like by yourself at the end of the night. Like, I mean, yeah, like there's obviously been like times like throughout my life where I've like been with someone like more consistently and everything. But I think that it's so crazy. Like when I start to get into a serious like potential situation, I often like I run, which really? Is like there's something inside of me that just like makes me want to run. And like I get like the ick and I want to go. I'm like, okay, this is just not fitting anymore. Like this is not going to be good for my life. So I just move on. Or I just get busy in work and I forget and I like fall off the face of the earth and I stop like seeing them so consistently and everything. But like, yeah, I'm dating in LA a little bit. Like I've gone on a few dates, which is fun.
Are you on Raya?
Yeah.
Okay. Any crazy dating stories?
Not yet. TBD. Yeah. So the first date that I went on, I've gone on like 5 dates since being in LA. I went on one last Friday, but it was a double date. And that was interesting. He was an actor, which I've never gone on a date with an actor before. It was very LA.
An actor.
It was more of like a setup. Like one of my new business partners set me up on a date with like this guy who he's in like some shows you guys don't know. But I'm not going to like spill the tea. But I was nervous because I'm like, I don't date guys like this. Like I'm not like into that. I don't want a guy that's like anywhere. I want a guy who's like a nerd, who's like not like a nerd, but like someone who's completely like off private, you know. And so I went on a double date and we had the best time ever. Like we exchanged numbers at the end of the night. Like we ended up all staying out till like 4 a.m. And then we went to like an after party at his house and like things were going so well and we had like the most fun time. And then he asked for my number and then he didn't text me. So I'm like, this is like story of my life where I'm like, okay, well, I thought he was like, let's hang out. He was like, please, let's hang out soon. And I was like, okay, great.
His fucking loss.
No, but expecting like the thing for me is like the bare minimum of just following up. Like, hey, I had a really nice time the other night. Let's hang out soon. End of story. We don't have to talk. You know, just like a little follow up being like, hey, like I had a great time. Nice meeting you. Let's hang out soon, you know? Yeah.
And kind of just ending it on a good note rather than ghosting. Ghosting's so sabotage.
Yeah. And then like
it could be a part of his game. Like, for example, when I first had my first date with Josh, he didn't text me the next day saying that. Like he didn't ever say I had a good time. And I remember being like at coffee with a friend. I was like, what is wrong with him? Like, why is he not texting? Like, what is that? And later I found out it was a part of his strategy. Guys are fucking weird. Like he might think he's doing something when he's not, you know? So
It worked for you.
When he really thought he did something.
I'm like, it worked for you, Nip. So
he's like, this will get her.
And I mean, I've been on some other good dates. Like I went on a date with this guy who I was like kind of chatting with. I met him on Raya, whatever you call it. And I like go to this date. We were going to like go to the farmer's market, hang out, whatever. I show up. He was so cute on the app. I showed up. He's literally 3 inches shorter than me. Not against anyone who's like shorter, but I feel like, it was definitely like kind of a catfish situation and he was just like definitely not like what he was like. Yeah. And I mean, it was nice. We had the best day ever, but like it became a friend. So, I mean, I think that like the thing about me and dating is like, I'm not forcing anything. It's more so just like, I'm enjoying my life. Like I'm working hard. I just want to go about my life. And like when the right situation is there, it'll happen. But like, I just have fun like meeting people, dating along the way. Like, and if something sticks, great, but like, I'm not forcing it.
I love that. You know what? The right mans will be lucky to have you. So he'll come. He'll come at one point. It'll come when you least expect it, I think.
Well, thank you.
And I also wanted to quickly ask you this because I feel like we brushed over this and didn't get a chance to while it was happening. But Kay, I know that you shoot mostly on your tripod, or you shoot a lot on your own. And so I want you to like kind of explain like how you have the patience, one, to do that, and how you've kind of mastered the tripod situation, because I feel like every time I try, it always just turns out to be a mess. And I feel like your content just always turns out so stunning. And yeah, how do you do the tripod stitch?
So, I mean, obviously 2020, we had to like take matters into our own hands. I've always shot with a photographer. I always relied on a photographer or just like being with my friends. And that was always just like the most efficient way to get photos done. And I found that like shooting with friends all the time became like a stress, especially because everyone has their own schedule. And if like you have something that's due or like you need photos, you're out of photos and you're like hitting up your best friend and you're like, I need photos, like let's shoot. And they're like, ah, I can't, but then they feel bad or like responsible. It's like relying on someone else to like take them out of their schedule if it doesn't work for them to like shoot, or a photographer like that was unavailable during the pandemic. It like really taught me to like take matters into my own hands. So I bought a tripod. I bought like a little clicker for my phone that like connects to Bluetooth, and I just set it up and I practiced, I feel like every day, because I had no option. I just had to take photos. So I just did it over and over and over again until I figured out like what angles work and everything. It was honestly just a practice, but I also used my camera, and I have like a Wi-Fi setting on my camera. So I'll look at my phone while my camera's shooting me. I have the same camera that Smart. You do, Emma. I think it's the G7X. So I literally will like set that up and do Wi-Fi on that.
I didn't know it does that.
Yeah. I do Wi-Fi on that. And then I like look at the app on my phone and I'll see it, like see the depth finder or like the little preview screen on my phone. And then I'll just click it from my phone while my camera's all the way like down the block or whatever, you know? So it's really helpful to have that for self-timer. But I don't know. It's honestly just like practice. I feel like now that I shoot on self-timer with the tripod, I don't even need like a photographer because I know the angles. Like I'm like, oh, I can get the perfect angle every time, no matter what. And the photographer, I'm like a little lower, like, you know, like down up, like you got to shoot like,
yes, down up. Like the problem with the photographers always I found is that they have their own vision and it's just as much their work as it is yours. And having to like get two creatives to figure out what they both want is just such a hassle. So that is so hard. That's actually groundbreaking.
That's exactly it. Where they're like, oh, well, like this looks better. Like I saw this for it or whatever, this vision. But so true.
You're like, no, sister. No, not at all.
We all download the G7X app after this.
Really? It's truly life changing.
So we also briefly touched on you moving from New York to LA. And I know those two cities are two of our favorites here on the show. And I think we just want to know, what's the biggest lesson as someone who lived in New York that New York City has taught you? Because you hear of all, you know, these stories, how New York is like the city of dreams. And I guess LA is the city of angels. But what's the biggest lesson that New York has taught you?
Well, I honestly think that New York has just taught me to be super independent in general. Just going back to that subject, I think that like in New York, you have to walk everywhere. If you want to go get groceries, you have to literally like walk down the block. You have to like show up to your meetings on time by yourself. It's like you have no one getting you there. It's like your job to get you from A to B anywhere you go. Or like also I think that it's just the energy of New York in general. Like everyone talks about this energy. It's like you have no choice but to like hustle your way because you're a part of the city that is like that. So it's like when you're immersed in that culture, it's just you feel it and you want that for yourself. And it just motivates you. It like lights a fire under you. And I think that like starting off in fashion and the business that we're in New York, there's like a different respect factor of like coming from a big city like New York versus like LA, because LA, there's a lot of influencers and there's a lot of different types of influencers. There's some that are more on like the like personality side of things, less fashion. So it's like in New York, it's mainly just like fashion influencers, I feel like. So having like being a fashion influencer is definitely better to be in like New York starting out, I think. But you can obviously make it anywhere like today, but back in the day, like it was definitely like the place that kind of taught me like about the fashion industry, like the culture associated and like being there during Fashion Week and all that type of stuff. I think that New York just kind of like taught me everything I needed to know about like fashion and this world that we live in and this just industry in general. But yeah, I don't know. I think that like having that respect factor of coming from New York and just that hustle background, people know like, oh, you're from New York. Like you're going to put your like good time and effort into something. Mm-hmm. Like you actually have like standards and you're going to do a good job.
Right. Love that.
I love that.
Great answer.
Yeah, that was a great answer.
Killed it.
Okay. Well, to wrap up our episode, thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on. We loved having our favorite stunning queen on this episode and talking about your life and the move from New York to LA and just how you kill it in this industry. So guys, make sure you go follow her. She's also on TikTok. We didn't mention that, but she has the best makeup tutorials. Oh my God, and I'm obsessed.
We totally forgot to say your TikTok. Oh my God. Sophie. Yes. Thank God you remembered. Yeah. Oh my God. So good. Her TikTok is
seriously
so good.
Okay, so Jordan, where can everyone find you on all social media platforms?
So I am on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And that's your handle?
I think. Yeah. It's at Jordan Sloan on Instagram, Jordan Sloan on YouTube. It's Jordan Sloan on Pinterest and TikTok.
Stunning.
Is Jordan Sloan.
Amazing.
Nice and easy.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you guys add our podcast to your Apple playlist and also on Spotify. And we will see you guys next Monday. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Stay stunning. Love you.
Bye guys. We love you. Thanks. Thanks Jordan for coming on the show. We love you.
Thanks for having me. Can't wait to come back soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.